Welcome to Anchored and Alive, seasonal nervous system support for women who are ready to stop forcing growth and start living in rhythm with their own energy. I'm Blaze, and each week we explore emotional steadiness, burnout recovery, boundaries, and self-trust in ways that honor the season that you're actually living in. Here, we choose soothing, sustainable growth without the hustle, hype, or self-abandonment. Let's anchor in and come alive. Hello and welcome back. This week, I want to talk about what I'm terming the ripening of my life and what that experience is like for me, in the hopes that it helps you connect with the ways in which your life is really rich and fulfilling right now as well. Over the last few years, I have been on this quest personally to find out where I belong in my life. And I know that's something that we all do throughout our entire lives is try to figure out, well, who am I? What's the purpose of me? How am I interacting with people? What am I bringing to the table? What am I making happen? And what benefits because I'm here? What am I getting out of it? Like, how am I feeling about it? Am I constantly putting out energy or am I getting energy back? And trying to figure out that balance. And I think that that pursuit is definitely something that we do our entire lives, and it's never always the same. However, I had this feeling that there's something fundamental about what it is to be me that I really wanted to understand better and to explore. And in this time of life, particularly in the summer and the richness and the heat of it and living as I am right now, it's apparent to me that I am finding my place and I am understanding myself better. And I've worked to create an environment in which I particularly thrive and I relate well to everyone around me. So lots of things contributed to this process. And some of it was me trying to figure out, well, what am I bringing to the table? What are the things that I do all the time anyway? And how can I remove friction points around all of that so that I get to do the things that make me feel good and that make me feel like me the most, and have them also make a difference to the people in my life that I care about? Because I don't usually want to do everything in a vacuum. I do definitely value my time by myself and creation, but I always want to share it with the people that I care about, and I want to produce things that, I don't know, make a difference for other people too. So I thought a lot about that. I'm like, well, what is it that I have to offer and how could I potentially get it out there and share it with more people? And does that mean just me in my own life? Does it mean me in a community? Am I talking about just people on my road or my family? Am I talking about my friends? Or could it be bigger and a larger container than what I had thought before? And over time, some of that distilled into me believing that remembering really that I love recording podcasts and I love being able to share what I learn and share my experiences with other people. And that seems to be a way in which I can connect fairly deeply with a much broader range than I would in my normal day-to-day life, where I tend to be a bit of a hermit and don't go out as much. So this is a way that I wanted to cultivate where I was like, well, that's something I enjoy and I can definitely bring storytelling and a lot of me to the table and share that. And I'm not afraid to do that. So I wanted to create that space. And that's part of how this podcast was born. But I also thought about the other things that I like to do and things that I'd been longing to do and felt disconnected and cut off from that I had either had done to myself or just kind of happened by circumstance. So I had gardens with my husband in our old house where we used to live. And those were huge. We had, I think, 9 different garden hexes. It was a lot of square feet. It was practically like the size of our house was our garden as well. And we grew a lot of our own food. And I really learned a lot and enjoyed being outside every day, barefoot, in the dirt, pulling up weeds, doing watering, connecting with just hearing the birds and seeing the bugs and honestly, you know, pulling bugs off of my plants and befriending the local turkeys and just all of this wildlife. And I felt so much a part of that space. And then I realized, you know, when we moved here and we had a young daughter and we moved in with my mother-in-law, none of that had time or space. And it hadn't even happened yet. And my daughter is now almost 10 years old. Actually, right now she is 10 years old. Scratch that. We've been here for nearly 10 years. And I still hadn't created the garden that I had missed. And I wondered why that was and why I let life get so much in the way. And I thought, well, how can I claim some of that back and be more of that person? Because when I thought of myself, you know how you have a self-concept of yourself. And I think of myself as this person who is creative, has a business, enjoys walking, likes nature. And in my head, I was like, I'm this gardener person. Like, I love taking care of plants and I love connecting with wildlife. And then I looked at the actual lived experience of my life here and I'm like, well, you are talking to the ravens and crows and you're noticing that there's a fox and you have names for all the little animals and the skunk family that comes by and the possum family and the raccoons, but I'm not really out there on a day-to-day basis the way that I used to be. And part of me got so sad about that and went, okay, well, it's time to shift it and make a change. If you go back and visit the springtime episodes, I really talked about that particular process and some of the reasoning behind why I held off. And a lot of it was to do with intergenerational relationships and realizing that I live with more than just one person and trying to accommodate what I felt everyone could bear or what they would manage, and me just wanting something for myself and feeling like maybe I wasn't ever going to be able to have that. And over the course of time, as I've started to get over myself in a way and say, it's okay if there's conflict, it's okay if it doesn't go perfect, but I need, in order to be me, to start making this garden, I did make it happen. So that was a really huge part of this year and a huge part of me feeling as full and ripe and happy as I do right now in this moment, knowing, oh my gosh, I made my garden. And I was able to share it in ways that I hadn't even anticipated by making like another little mini garden next to it for my daughter and helping her learn the concepts of how to plant some things, learning entirely new plants. Like this year, it's all different things that I had never tried in my other garden, because the garden I chose to do this year is all perennials and I wanted it to be an herbal tea garden. Because again, I thought about, well, who am I really? And what's the actual circumstances that I'm living in? And I live in a place where we don't get a ton of water all the time. We like kind of flood out in the winter and early spring, and then it dries up in the summer. And I thought, well, I need plants that can survive that, particularly after the first year when you're done watering them in and they can just come back and survive. But I also thought, well, what am I really needing in my life and that I do anyway? I love tea. I just really do. And I love smelling rosemary and just adding herbs and spices to all of my cooking. Why not be growing that and not worry about tomatoes and potatoes and all of these water-hungry, huge things like monsters that we used to grow at our old house? Because I don't have the space, the time, the capacity for that, but I do have time for a garden that I can go out and smell and touch and nourish and weed that turns into delicious drinks and little accents on every meal. That felt perfect. So I was so excited to be able to start to create that. A lot of this process of me figuring out where I wanted to be didn't unfold all in one big go. So beginning the podcast started last year, like really I had the dream of it much before I started recording it. And the first episodes went live in November of last year, so we're not even a year in. But I had had a podcast several years before, the Self-Compassion and Self-Awareness podcast, and it really taught me so much about the topics that I'm always talking about anyway. So if you ever visit any of those old episodes, they're not recorded as well, but it's me talking authentically about my life, just spontaneously about what's going on and whatever I happen to be thinking about. And I had no direction whatsoever with that podcast. And yet when I went back and revisited it and listened to a lot of them, I'm like, man, I've been talking about the same things, about seasonal awareness and going with the flow and being this person that I actually already am for years. And it really informed the business that I now have and the course that I've made and everything that I freaking love about my business and the way that I work with people now. And it didn't happen overnight. And it happened sometimes frustratingly slowly and sometimes amazingly fast, just in these little fits and spurts, but all of it moving naturally, particularly as I would ease up and stop trying to direct it to be something structured around the way I thought other people tell me to do things. Yes. So much, I think, about finding the place that you belong and feeling like you really fit in your life is about recognizing how often you're trying to cram yourself into the structure or the flow that society dictates, or you've picked up from somewhere, or the way your partner or your family or your parents did it, or your kids tell you to do it, or your teachers, or whatever. That has its place, but we don't need to adopt it to every single aspect of our lives. I think the more that we recognize the structure that matches us naturally and start to see what that is, like, what is your personal rhythm and your personal flow? What are the topics that like really bring you to life, and how do you like to interpret that and share that with other people? Maybe you're amazing at building things and working with your hands, and you have a process and a rhythm of showing up and doing that and producing things that isn't necessarily on the timeline of, you know, a Fortune 500 company, but it's really hugely effective in your life, in your circles, and with your people. I think recognizing that that is worth celebrating, and it just is what it is, and we don't have to fight against it, allows us to just appreciate ourselves so much more, to be able to go, oh, okay, well, this is how it works for me, and I'm not going to be able to comfortably keep cramming myself into a box and showing up the way that I thought I had to. Maybe if I try showing up the way I actually kind of already am anyway and stop judging it, things might go better. So the last several years, decades really, but particularly this one, has been a practice of me showing up as I actually am, noticing where that hits pushback from my family, from community, and actually more remarkably where it really, really didn't. And that was surprising to me, because I thought, wow, if I just give up trying to fulfill all these roles and manage everybody, like I thought that was an important part of my existence, is managing, managing my kid, managing the household, managing all this stuff. And I kind of set that down and went, okay, I do still have to, you know, make phone calls and make sure that repairs get done and that I'm coordinating things. But if I don't filter it through what I thought management meant and make it hugely stressful, it doesn't have to be hugely stressful. And that blew my mind. So this is not to say that I haven't had a lot of very frustrating things happen. Like, we had solar panels put in and geothermal maintenance and roofing and all kinds of, I would say, somewhat disasters over the last few years, and some remarkable repairs and awesome things that have happened. The more I ease up and go, you know what, they're going to show up and do what they need to do, and I'm going to show up and do what I need to do, and I'm not going to try to pretend that me having stress about this is going to make the outcome any different or better, has freed up a ton of energy that I was expending that didn't actually make a difference at all. I don't even know how to convey this more to you. Like, it was amazing to me. I had no idea how much energy I was pouring into being already preemptively upset, stressed out, tight, anxious, and controlling about every situation, phone call, appointment, whatever that I needed to set in advance, as though if I didn't feel that way, it might go awry. And I was like, well, what if you just like try to relax your body and relax your idea about this and show up? It may or may not go great, but you adding all of your stress to it certainly doesn't make that much of a difference in the outcome, or might not make any. Learning how to do that has definitely been a curve. I'm not going to say it's easy, but so remarkable, because now when I reach out to do something, or, you know, something goes awry, like the fire alarms went off, you know, early in the morning this morning, because that's always when they decide that they're out of batteries. And it was scary and it woke us all up and whatever. And this is the first time in my life that I've been able to handle something like that and be like, oh my God, okay, so we're pulling out batteries and I'm just going to set it aside and go back to bed, and we'll get up and we'll manage everything later and not stress out about it and make it be like, oh, well, next time I better preemptively like get them on a schedule and every 6 months. Like, I just didn't do that, didn't have that feeling anymore. And to me, I think that's really indicative of how much progress I'm making as I settle in to the life that I'm actually living? What is it like to settle into the life that you're actually living? I want to ask that and hear from you. What is it like when you realize, hey, this is the life I'm living and it's okay? And it's all right if I'm a hurried person in the morning because that's what works for me, and then I'm really quiet in the evenings. For me, it's feeling like I'm really expansive and quiet in the mornings, actually, and I get really into focused work and connecting with people more in the afternoon. I love connecting with my family in the evening, but then I hit again, like it's like this big parabola where in the morning I don't want people, and then very late in the evening I don't want people, but in the meantime I want them. So I'm able to flow with that now and work with it instead of against it. I'm able to go, oh, the things that I really cared about in my life, I'm nurturing. So I've got my garden and I am out there, and I'm using that as a bridge to connect with my daughter more, which is also so important to me. And I'm enjoying creative projects. And this year we're funneling more of that energy as we're heading towards the fall into knitting. And oh my gosh, that's been beautiful too. Learning how to do crafts with friends of mine that are so skilled at knitting and crocheting, and learning that skill from them and realizing I'm still like such a beginner at it. But the joy of just working with my hands and making time and space for that, rather than thinking that that's like a bonus extra. That's the stuff now that I'm like, that is the life that I'm living, and it's the thing that is important. And being able to show up and share all of that stuff through my work with you is important and makes me feel like I have a place and like I belong and like I'm not unimportant. Being out in my yard and connecting with the wildlife and the plants makes me feel like there's a purpose for me there, and I feel like I'm connected and I'm important, and all of it really fills back into that feeling like I belong. And like even when I'm making my morning tea, if I've gone out and I've collected a few leaves from my garden, there's so many little connection points there that it just feels really rich and full and ripe and gorgeous. So that's what ripening is for me at this time of year. What does it look like for you? I think it means that you get to enjoy and stay with all the things that are working in your life and all of the things that you've already started. It means not abandoning the parts of your life that you love for new things if they're not truly inspiring or calling to you. And it means that you do follow your heart and follow things that are calling to you as well. So when you realize something like, oh my gosh, I've wanted a garden for a decade and I didn't get one started, that you don't beat yourself up about it. You go, great, what can I do to help me connect with that in a small way? And again, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be in alignment with who you are. It also means allowing things to be kind of unfinished without rushing to resolve everything as though you get points for finishing fast. So much about me enjoying, like truly relaxing and enjoying my life, is not worrying about how much time I have left in the year to complete all my projects, not worrying that, oh my God, if I don't spend 15 hours today working on my sweater, it's not going to be ready for the fall. It's me going, you know, if I have an hour or 20 minutes that I want to doodle with this, that's great. And eventually it will become what it becomes. One of the thoughts that I had that made me feel really good several years ago was coming up with a list of all the things that were going to happen anyway without any extra effort on my part. And one of them was, I really wish my hair was longer. And I was like, wow, how amazing that my hair will just kind of grow. Like if I just leave it alone and maybe tend to it nicely, like don't let it get too knotted and wash it and stuff, it will grow longer and I don't have to do anything. So inevitably, I get to have longer hair. I think about that with my garden as well, where I'm like, okay, it's all started out really babyish this year, and I know it won't even reach full maturity for another 2 years. So I don't need to rush it, and I can't rush it. Part of belonging is just enjoying the process and wondering what happens as it's coming along. There's such a requirement for trust to allow yourself to have this kind of enjoyment. It's about trusting having enough time and trusting the process of you connecting with the things that you love. And it's about trusting that not everything in your realm needs your intervention and needs you to control it, that it actually is wanting to support you, and that as you find that balance, you do feel supported. That's been remarkable for me, is just recognizing how much I thought I had to control or force things to support me. And then when I let go, I went, oh, it already held me. I was just trying to hold myself up in addition to that. What a relief. I love it. So let me ask you, what in your life is still unfolding right now? And where could you give something more time and allow more space to enjoy it this week instead of doing more effort? I want this week to be the great un-efforting. It's just showing up and being like, woohoo, this is nice. So I'm sending out that vibe to you and hoping that you're receiving it and allowing yourself to bring in all of that enjoyment. This is about you enjoying what you've already created, realizing that by being you and setting up things the way you already have, you have protected your energy and you're not performing or trying to be something other than you are. And hopefully by now, we're also not overscheduling too hard and we're only just, you know, refining things, not fixing them, but just kind of tweaking them because it feels good to do so and not because we have to. When I go out now and I am deciding, you know, which plant I'm going to harvest from today, I don't think of this as me managing it or fixing it. It's not even me trying to make it more beautiful. It's me looking at it almost like this three-dimensional beautiful painting that's in all of the senses. And I'm like, well, what flavor and smell and taste do I need today? And where is it coming from? And do I want to harvest from the top or the bottom of the plant today? And what makes that plant feel good? And me even having this back and forth with the plant about what's acceptable to grab and thanking it and feeling like there's this deep connection there. That's what it looks like for me. And I know it's going to be something equally as beautiful for you. You don't need to rush your life forward. Some of the most important pieces of it are just quietly unfolding around you, even at this moment. Have an awesome week. I really look forward to connecting with you again. I think next week I'd like to talk about how it feels being in this vibe as a sensitive person, because we can have these moments of ripeness, and I know I have them. And then sometimes I end up feeling overwhelmed anyway, or like there's just too much input and it makes me feel like I need to be bracing. So I want to talk about what that experience is like and ways that we can, I don't want to say overly protect ourselves. Again, I'm not about all of the efforting right now. Right now it's about kind of relaxing, but how to make that possible without opening up to just being trampled by the world around us. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me this week. This podcast is one part of a larger seasonal ecosystem of support. Through the course and seasonal workshops, we move beyond ideas into sustained practical growth and rest cycles at a pace that your nervous system can truly integrate and trust. You can learn more at anchoredandalive.com whenever it feels right. Until next time, stay steady, and we'll meet here again next week.